Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. We're, of course, having some interesting facial conflations. Some sign language is going on here in the studio because I didn't unmute these guys' mic because we were, of course, having a lively chat during the break. So before we go on, this hour of...
Just do the live read so we can talk.
Dude, hush. Right? Like, my God.
Hey, guys, can you keep arguing about this so that we never actually get to the show?
All right. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and the network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol. And it's in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Big thank you to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. That's dash.org. All right. You guys going to behave? No? All right. Well, I guess I'll unmute you. Either way. We have, you know, more stories to cover, of course, but this seems to be... war, of course, is a very passionate subject for, well, anyone, really, regardless of your political leanings. War is hell. War is one of the reasons, in fact, might even be the number one reason, that I am anti-state.
It's all the things I hate about government, plus more murder.
Yeah, like government already claims a monopoly on violence to enforce whatever things they decide they want you to do. These are called laws or regulations or edicts or, you know, all these types of words that they use. In addition to that, they decide that through the process of central banking, they are going to print up a bunch of money and make you and your unborn children responsible for that money, and then use that money to commit heinous acts of violence on a scale unable and unavailable to individuals.
Yeah. And there's absolutely nothing more socialist or communist, depending on your perspective, than the American military.
Okay. The defense contractor that I couldn't think of, the BAE.
Oh, BAE, right. It's, well, it stands for something, too.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's the acronym. So if you know, if they stop taking dollars, right, BAE will start taking Dash.
Right.
And the, okay. And the machines great. Keep turning.
Yes. Great. And if the dollar becomes worthless, then at least there's a finite amount of war that can be made, whereas at present, there is an infinite amount of war that can be made.
Right. So if the U.S. government was like, hey, we're going to do some war, we need some money, and you're going to pay, you know, $300 or whatever, right? Every individual in the U.S., you're responsible for $300, let's say, right?
Yeah.
They can't do that with cryptocurrency. They can't do that even with gold-backed currency. They can only do it with fiat currency, where they can borrow money from the Federal Reserve to pay for whatever the hell they want, unlimited numbers of bullets, unlimited numbers of tanks and F-15s, and et cetera and so on. If they can't borrow from their own central bank, then this type of scale war, this large, large-ass war, is not possible if every individual gets that bill every year. Those wars would end so fast you couldn't even blink.
If individuals got the bill, yes.
Right.
But I don't...
That doesn't happen with good money, right? War does not happen the way that it happens now if you have sound money, like cryptocurrency or gold-backed currency.
I want to disagree, because I don't...
But you can't, because you're wrong.
No. Because money is just a commodity that they're adjusting the supply of.
Yeah.
Well, that is a very, very generous way to put counterfeiting.
And if they can no longer adjust the supply of...
Then the price adjusts to the demand.
Right. And the demand for war is low.
No, it's not. It's high. It's all over the place.
No, it's very low.
It has nothing.
The demand for war is only high amongst the state.
And
if the state, and if you neuter the state with their ability to fund war, wars go away, or at least reduce themselves to a far more, I don't even want to say reasonable level, but a far lesser
price will adjust.
Murder amount.
The demand is there, the price will adjust.
No, the people that prefer war to peace are the people who profit from the war.
Okay. Let's table this for a minute because we have to get to some calls. Let's go to Matt calling from Washington. Matt, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, just real quick, BAE is British Aerospace. That's what it stands for.
It's not even an American company. Jesus.
Thanks, Matt.
The two things I wanted to get out of the way before I get to Wickard v. Filburn. So Gigi, she talks a good game, but first of all, F-16s and F-15s are Air Force aircraft. They're not on the carriers that are heading to the Eastern Mediterranean. And she was focused on the PLO and Hamas. The PLO governs the West Bank, which is a geographically separate entity from the Gaza Strip, which is governed by Hamas. So Peekless is right on that. But now that I've given Peekless a compliment, so you said that World War III was coming, but, I mean, we already had the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War, which were active state conflicts with Israel 50 years ago, so I'm not sure that we're quite there yet.
Yeah,
and if you have any questions about that, I'm happy to answer them, but I'd really like to talk about Wickard v. Filburn.
About what?
Wickard v. Filburn, the Supreme Court case you were talking about?
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. To clarify, so is Hamas getting U.S. dollars? Or do you know?
Well, I mean, Hamas probably through several entities gets U.S. dollars. Maybe Hamas definitely gets EU dollars through. So Hamas has a humanitarian side and a military side. So that's why there's a lot of consternation in the EU about funding Hamas, because since they are the de facto government of the Gaza Strip, they get a lot of humanitarian aid, but money is fungible, so you can kind of, like, you can get dollars for school textbooks, and then you can use that money to buy weapons. It's very complicated.
Yeah, and the reason I think that this is a different situation than the previous wars in the region is that we didn't have the same tensions with other superpowers that we do right now, specifically Russia and China. Over Ukraine and Taiwan.
It's a good time to thin out the U.S. military across the globe.
Yeah, I think that when you look at, there was some consternation over the Suez Canal, especially when you talk about the Six-Day War between Egypt, who was aligned with Russia and Britain. But, I mean, yeah, I'll take the superpower aspect off the table.
So what were you wanting to talk about with the Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, so you mentioned the Supreme Court. So Wickard v. Filburn, that gets to the Interstate Commerce Clause. So in 1938, they passed a law. Basically said you can only grow X amount of crops based on your acreage. And so a farmer in Ohio in 1940, they said, hey, you can grow this much wheat. And sell it. In 1941, he grew that much wheat and sold it, and then he also grew extra wheat to feed his livestock. And then the Department of Agriculture said, you have exceeded your limit. And he's like, no, I only sold the limit that you gave me. I gave the rest to my livestock. And then the Supreme Court decided in 1942 that because he didn't buy that wheat on the open market and he grew it himself, it affected the price of wheat and therefore it was interstate commerce.
So I remember this,
giving wheat he grew on his own land to his own animals was somehow interstate commerce, which was essentially the downfall of federalism in the United States.
That's the not interstate and not commerce that I was referring to.
Yeah.
But you put a name on it. So
I just want to make sure we got specific on it.
Much obliged.
Anything else, Matt?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Yeah, it is. It's just legalese, right? These are words that government has made weapons of and pointed them at us, people. Right, people who do things, right? A productive farmer, right, should never have weapons pointed at him for being productive, right? For growing a crop,
yeah.
Right? Currently, the United States is subsidizing farmers to not grow things.
Right.
Or to destroy it.
Yeah. Or to destroy it, which, I mean, that
prop up the price.
That affects the price.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
in violation of interstate commerce laws now?
Oh, well, they're allowed to do that. That's what they're there for, is to regulate interstate commerce. You see, the thing is, Activity A could change people's demand for goods that could be acquired from other states.
Whereas,
and therefore, we have to regulate Activity A.
Whereas Activity B could affect the price of goods and commerce for people all around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So and everything has something to do with the price of the tea in China.
And I guarantee you that if something is not done to avoid this possibility, they will use the same argument for global governance.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for people to comprehend the market will just be fine by itself.
Right.
Like, if you just allow the market to be, it will do all of this. There is no need for a violent organization of sociopaths and goons to have anything to do with, to incentivize or disincentivize the growth of certain crops or anything like that. The market will just sort of take care of it. Innovation will take care of it. You just leave the market alone, let it become its own organic thing, and everything will be fine. You do not need these people interfering.
Well, some people get anxious about whether something's going to be fixed or not, and other people who want power say, I would be glad to take over that.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with the people who want power.
Right. Well, no, it's both of them. It's the people who are anxious about a given thing, whatever that given thing is. The people feel anxiety about some problem not getting solved, and then the people who want power prey on that anxiety, and the anxious people are more than willing to give them all of this power and to give them this exceptional status where they get to use violence to attempt to solve whatever it is that they are worried about.
Sounds like supply, demand, and a price.
How you figure?
Supply, demand, and a price.
I demand something to be changed. Government says, like, I will supply that change for you. And it only costs you some liberty.
Well, the government is not.
Well, the difference being that I'm not allowed to compete with the government.
Understood, but right. it's still supply, demand, and a price.
Government is not a market entity, though.
Understood, but you have demand for a thing, right? The whatever. What did you say? You know, people are scared of.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, right? And you got someone who's able to do it. Right, the supplier of said change, and then
well, that would be the violent organization known as government.
Sure, supplier of change, the violent organization.
They have the ability to supply the change. Yes,
they absolutely do.
Yeah.
But in the absence of it, the person who wants the change might have to take action themselves to effect said change,
mm-hmm.
instead of petitioning this organization of violence to make the change for them and force it upon others.
And in order to get that change to occur, there will be a price to pay. To some entity or to yourself.
But not to the person demanding the change.
No, they're the ones paying the price. They're
Are they? No, everyone is paying that price.
Yeah, that's
because
that's the
government
real
socializes that price.
Sure.
Like, I'm not anxious about these problems because I know how the market works.
Right.
I know how many problems the market can solve. All of them. And since I know that, I'm not worried about these things perpetually going unsolved.
Right.
Unless we start to involve aggression. Once we start involving aggression, that's the problem that I'm worried about.
And in your scenario that you described...
Well, the thing is, the anxious people will compel me to participate in the payment of government of my liberty, taxes, what have you.
In the situation you described where somebody is demanding a change, well, anybody can demand anything.
Sure.
I demand you shave your beard. I don't actually demand that. But let's just say that I did. Now, if you go, no, I'm not going to cut my beard, do I have the ability to petition an organization of violence to force you, to hold you down and forcibly remove your beard?
You may not have the right to do so.
I do not.
But if you pay them enough, they
will. So this same person who's demanding this change isn't taking any action of themselves to affect the change. All they are doing is reaching out to this large organization of violence to have them make the change for them.
Right.
And they're outsourcing the responsibility. This is what government does, is it takes away personal responsibility for anything that you demand.
Yes. And what the government accepts in form of payment for that quote unquote violent service, right? Just a little bit of your liberties. A little bit of your money.
Not yours, not the person who's
everybody's.
That's exactly the issue, is that it's not the people who want this solved that are paying the full price.
Right.
They are compelling me to pay that price with them.
It's the same thing I say to these people who, whatever side of the conflict that you're on over there in Israel, whatever side you're on, if you're demanding something happen, then get off your ass and go and do something about it. Don't just complain about it on social media. Get on a plane, fly over there, effect the change, or shut the hell up.
So now that you're being oppressed, right, for somebody else's change,
mm-hmm.
you may want for yourself a demand for some defensive service of your own
mm-hmm.
so that you're not being oppressed by them.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And should someone then come along and say, like, well, you know.
Sounds like a great snake oil salesman.
Well, maybe. Or an opposition government.
Yep.
Right?
Snake oil salesman.
Or, again, someone who can defend and... A competing defense agency.
Well, you see, they'll promise all day long that they will put me into a state of peace where no one is oppressing me. And that ain't going to happen.
Well,
and if I help this opposition government...
It's not even currently happening.
Yeah. And if I were to help this opposition government, even if they weren't, you know, a Fed trying to trick me, which is what it usually is, but even if they did succeed, they would end up oppressing me themselves.
Maybe.
All of history, man. Like, seriously, look at what has been happening for the last, couple hundred years in South America, for example.
Then you're also suggesting that no defense agency can exist in a private market. Because they will just end up oppressing you themselves once they have your money and have offered you the protection.
Well,
They're not going to demand my liberty. They'll demand something.
They're not going to do it for free.
Great. Good. I'm happy to pay things that aren't my liberty.
Okay. My suggestion to you, Captain, is that if you're going to oppose the government, mm-hmm. right, and the government's force, right, you could theoretically go get a private market solution, if you could afford it, to help secure your liberties against the government oppressor.
I understand what you're saying. However, the private market entity is prohibited from existing because of government.
Well, then they're terrible at their job.
Mm, yep.
They can't even exist because government maintains a monopoly over security services. They will not allow, I mean, outside of, you got a business and you want to have some rent-a-cops, you know, patrol the parking lot, right? Outside of that. That's all you get. That's all government allows. They don't allow competition. They claim a monopoly on violence, period.
The beautiful thing about violence, right, is it's not about allow. If you want to throw off the yoke of your oppressor, right, you're going to have to get your hands dirty. And if you can pay someone to get their hands dirty for you, I don't care what the law says, right?
Well, when are you starting this private security service?
Richie Rich Reclamations. It's already on Facebook.
Okay.
There you go.
Do you have a rate card?
No.
Well, and the thing is, this isn't a way of doing it. Like, this simply isn't
a way.
It's not a way that works.
Well, if government gets out of the way, then yes, private
security
services.
Government's not going to get out of the way. That's the thing. The government's not going to get out of the way. And
we disagree.
You always want this to be like the parallel entity in the Agorist marketplace. Here's the thing. Parallel to what the government offers.
It's not. You're right. They're not going to get out of the way. You're absolutely right.
Then they need to be moved out of the way.
Yes. And I think the way of moving them out of the way is not by force. It's not by violence. It is by cutting their root of power, which is the money.
Right.
By stop using their money, and in as much as I can, I do, and I move in the direction of stop using their money, and more people move in the direction of stop using the money of the oppressors, they lose the ability to oppress. No one needs to shoot them. No one needs to set the White House on fire.
Right.
No one needs to tar and feather all these politicians, as much as fun as that would be. We can just take away their power by using their real power is us, and we use that real power in not them.
Yeah, it's like, give them too much credit.
It's like the Matrix, right? They view us as either human cattle or human batteries. They every piece of power that government has comes from the human batteries that they farm. Right, and if we can stop feeding them our power, then they lose theirs.
You make it sound as if money predates the government.
It does.
Yep. Sure does.
No.
Yes, money predates the government.
Yeah, even like...
Dear God, man, read a book.
Even like primates and stuff, man, have... Like, they invent constantly their own version of money with, like, pebbles and stuff out in the wild. Or
let me rephrase. Actually, it's usually meat, but yeah.
Let me rephrase. You make, like, government money predates the government.
Government money does not predate government.
Okay.
No. Right. So what needs to end is central banking.
Prior to... You're not going to be able to change government money... You stop using their money,
mm-hmm.
right? And then what? They just go away? No.
They lose the
power. They're an agent of violence and conquest. They will go back to that. That's what they have.
Well, no. Here's the difference.
You stop using their money, they go back to the actual overt violence.
Dude, broken window fallacy. It's really simple.
That's what happened before they set up governments in geographic locations. It was conquest.
It's all about your cost to benefit analysis, right? So you expend a certain amount of money paying for soldiers and giving them food and weapons and all of that. Now you have to take in more resources than you're expending.
Yes.
On the only way that they can do that is if they are creating the resources.
No, because before they created the resources, they stole it through conquest.
And
that's the entire British Empire.
And that
read a book, man.
That has limits. Yeah, and they printed their money. You think those pounds silver were actually pounds of silver?
Before it was a dollar, it was a pound silver.
No, pound silver was paper. It's imaginary. It does not cost a pound of silver to get a pound sterling, quote unquote. And that's how they had an empire, they had fiat currency.
Right. Before dollars, it was metal, and they invaded, they stole, they plundered, they pillaged, and expanded the empire.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. The final segment of tonight's Saturday Night Edition is next.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA USA News update. Egypt, Israel, and the United States have agreed to allow U.S. citizens to leave Gaza through the Rafah border crossing. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have already fled after being given 24 hours notice to leave. Minimum wage for healthcare workers in California will increase to $25 per hour over the next decade as Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new law yesterday. The new law is the second minimum wage increase that the governor has signed in the past month after raising the pay for fast food workers to $20 per hour. Excitement was felt far and wide as a rare moment on the sun dazzled spectators today.
From Oregon to Texas, some drove hours to see Saturday's Ring of Fire solar eclipse.
We just finished like a 7.5 hour drive all the way from Sierra Vista, Arizona.
In an annular eclipse, the sun is not entirely blocked. It won't happen again until 2046. Plans are already in the works for the next total solar eclipse next April. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Skip Kelly, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is.
Free Talk Live.
If you want to join us, you can dial
603-283-6160.
Gets it on the second try.
Nice. Hey, you know, better late than never. Before we go on, I need to say two things. One, at about 10:30 p.m., you can join us, the three of us here, Richie Rich, Peakless Mountaineer, and myself, the captain, for the Uncensored Beard Talk Live at 10:30 p.m. over at watch.freetalklive.com. That's the only place you can get it for free live, watch.freetalklive.com. If you're a Patreon of Free Talk Live, you'll be able to hear it because you are a patron. You're an amplifier, if you will. Speaking of amplifiers, the second thing I need to say is thank you to Monero FTW. Monero FTW is a silver level amplifier. That means Monero FTW gives $5 a month to the AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. You can find out all about the program over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. where it's a Patreon-type setup. We only ask for $5. You can give more. There's different levels. There's different little, you know, sort of benefits that you get, you know, if you give more, whatever. But that's not why you should become an amplifier. You should become an amplifier because you enjoy the show. You enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts. You enjoy the callers, the perspective of freedom, peace, and liberty that we bring to the topics of modern-day society and even historical society. So, again, amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Monero FTW. We appreciate you. All right, before we go on, let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I want to mention that we had our network marketing meeting at a library for free. This is our second meeting.
So it wasn't free.
So your network marketing company couldn't even afford to rent a place for you all to meet, had to have it at a library, so you socialized the cost of the meeting space by distributing it to everybody else?
Well played, MLM.
Oh, you know, this is kind of like if you market, it's up to you how you want to do it. So if we don't have money, so you have to go to the cheap route. But if you got money, a lot of people that are doctors or whatever, they're making $80,000, they rent event center, they pay for it, and they write it off on their taxes. We don't make enough money to write nothing off, so we just went for the freebie.
You got to recruit more people into your MLA.
It is not free. It is stolen. That's different.
Why is that stolen when it's taxpayer funded?
Exactly,
and
how they stole
it. Have any meeting...
Yes, taxpayers are victims of theft, Sarah.
Well, you're entitled to have any meeting you guys want. So I'm not going to complain.
What I want is to stop being stolen from.
Do you understand, Sarah, the concept that taxation... Sarah, do you understand the concept of taxation is theft?
Not if it's providing a service. You know what I mean?
If I steal from someone, but I do something good with it, that doesn't count?
Well, I mean, don't you understand, like, sharing public service?
No. Sharing is what we choose to do, and stealing is what someone else chooses for us to do.
I don't know, but I just want to say, you know who got poked up was the librarians got all excited. You know what I mean? So, because I got to show some of the products, and they were really blown away. So I hope they call the person that signed us up to get enrolled. But
why aren't you enrolling them?
The thing is that I just don't want to enroll them. You know, I don't want to be the enroller. He enrolls them and puts them under me, so I get free product dollars.
You have to enroll people into your MLM to be successful. Then you can afford to not go to the library. You need authorization to enroll people into your multi-level marketing scheme?
I'm not going to enroll, but a lot of people did look at our little sign as they were walking by. That's good enough. And, you know, I passed out about 80 flyers, nobody showed up. And like 2-3 people said, I'm going to be there, and they never showed up.
All right, so
I'm generally not against multi-level marketing. It's voluntary.
So Sarah, I'm a musician, and if I decided to tell everybody, hey, I'm going to make an appearance at the record store here in Keene, New Hampshire, I'm going to have T-shirts for sale. Right, so I show up, and I got a table, and I got some T-shirts there, but I don't actually try and sell any of them. What was the point of me going to this place and trying to sell T-shirts if I'm not going to actually try?
Okay, so what happens is that I get 30 spots, like the first two lines, I could get free loyalty dollars. Whatever they earn, I could get to buy free products, and that's what I'm after.
Heck is a loyalty dollar?
So I could buy free product dollars. So
probably
if somebody orders 100 points.
Okay.
Well, let's say I got one person under me, Rick and Esther, the pastors. So if they order 50 points, I'll get about, what's the 7% of a 50 points? It's about like maybe $3 or $4. So $4. Okay. So I could buy towards a free product, but I have 30 spots. So I don't want to have money. I just want free product dollars. So he enrolls them, puts them under me. So that's all I care about.
All Sarah cares about is the free stuff.
I mean, if you want the product, that's
yeah, she's consistent.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I still want to keep my check. It'll go against my check. I'm hoping, yeah, that's, but I just have more fun doing it. And I think we impressed people that was walking by looking in, at least about 10 people.
How do you measure that? How do you measure how people were impressed or not? How do you measure that?
Smiles.
I don't know about impressed or not, but they're just looking and kind of curious to walk by, or some people just ignore, but at least about 7 people. We do more advertisement at sitting at the library than I ever, my invitation. The whole point was to invite people so they could listen to us. But we just get the onlookers more sitting there. And then the librarians kind of interact with us.
Do you know, while I have nothing against excited librarians, are you familiar with the term busking? Do you know what a busker is?
I have never heard that. Okay. What does that mean?
When you're walking down the street in a, usually a crowded area, hopefully if they're a good busker, it's going to be a person usually with like an acoustic guitar and like a hat out. And the idea is that they're going to play some music, and the passersby who enjoy the music will throw a little bit in the hat, a little tip, a little change, a dollar or two, whatever it is. That's called busking, right? When you go out and you play music, and then, the idea is that people throw money into your hat. Now, let's say a busker, a musician, went out with his acoustic guitar and his little stool, and he sat in a very crowded area, and he put the guitar on, and he put the hat out in front of himself, and never played a note. Do you think he's going to get any money?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, then.
603- What if he held up a sign?
283-6160. What?
What if he just held up a sign and didn't pretend to play music? Just said, please give me money.
Well, that's different than busking. That's begging now. All right. Now he's panhandling. That's okay. A whole different thing. All right. That's different than busking.
Different license.
Yeah, you got to pay the government for the panhandling license. I don't. Yeah.
Oh, that's a thing. That is absolutely. Also, busking is a licensed activity.
Well, depending on the city you live in. Some cities are like, you don't need a license, it's fine. Other cities are like, you totally need a license, it's not fine. Although, a lot of places don't even, like, the cops won't even bother.
How dare you entertain people and then accept their money?
Yeah. I can't confirm this because it was, like, hearsay and I never looked into it. But in, like, the touristy area in Hawaii, you actually get a license for, like, the square foot of the sidewalk that you're allowed to busk on.
I don't remember what city it was, but the license you had to get was the same as, like, a street vendor license. So if you wanted, like, you had a hot dog cart or something, you wanted to cook up some hot dogs and serve them up to people, you had to have your cart certified by the health department before you could even get the license. Once your cart was certified, then you apply for the license, pay the fee. And as long as you had the cart certified, then, usually no big deal. Then you could go out. And so in the case of the busker, there was nothing to certify. So they had to jump through a hoop that the hot dog vendors don't in order to be like, hey, I'm not vending food.
So there's a bunch of hot dog vendors with, like, the state safety inspection sticker on their hot dog cart?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
They passed emissions?
Well, it depends if the cart's motorized or not. Oh, most of them aren't.
All right.
And, like, in the Seattle, Washington area, particularly the downtown area.
Looks like
area,
it could boil water.
There is a whole bunch of these vendors, right? Seattle, the nightlife is famous for people getting way too drunk and having, like, Seattle dogs, right? These Polish sausages or bratwursts or all-beef hot dogs. And they'll do, like, fried onions and peppers or whatever. But they'll toast the buns and they'll put a little slab of cream cheese on the bun before putting your Polish or your hot dog or whatever on it. It's delicious.
All right.
It's freaking delicious.
That does sound delicious.
Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. Let's go to Butta. It's Major Payne calling from Michigan.
Yeah, good evening, gents. Yeah, the reason Sarah is so spooked about signing up people, and she even admitted it, but none of you guys caught it.
Oh, I caught it. She doesn't want to make any money because her benefits go away.
Exactly, yeah. It'll bust into her check, and they'll take away her bennies.
Yeah, perverse incentives.
And that's the reason two-thirds of the people that are able-bodied or and unemployed are, you know, unemployed.
Well, that's why we have such great unemployment numbers. A whole bunch of people just quit trying to get a job. Man, we could have full employment if everyone would just stop looking for work.
Yeah, well, they don't even count the people who have stopped looking altogether.
Exactly. Yeah. We could have 100% employment tomorrow if everyone would just quit trying to get a job.
I really think they should just declare that sitting on your butt is a government job and then full employment, because anyone currently on welfare now just works for the state.
Well, would they be paid?
Yeah, because they're already in pay.
Oh, yeah, that's called a universal basic income.
Okay.
Now, what was that, Major?
I say, ask Richie if he's ever been to a government office. They already get paid for sitting on their butt.
That's my point. So if you want to make unemployment go down, you just declare that to be a job, right? So it's a remote position. You work from home. You sit on your butt all day. You collect your government check. Boom. No unemployment.
We actually tried that already. I mean, not in the U.S.
Okay.
It was in the USSR.
Right.
I mean, those people had plenty of money. I mean, they all had a lot of money. There wasn't anything you could buy with it, but they had lots of money, and everyone had a job.
Sounds like what they did during the COVID lockdowns, too.
Right.
We're just going to hand out money and stop production.
Yep. But don't worry. It won't cause a recession, I promise.
If I get one of these jobs and I decide to sit on my butt all day, but I sit on the throne, would that make me king?
Of your own castle.
Well, I'm already that, but I don't need the toilet to...
Then you'll just have too many titles like the captain over here. King Major Payne.
Speaking of which, Esquire Captain, I believe you're too old for.
No. Esquire just means like attorney.
No.
Well, correct me.
They might have bastardized it into that, but I had a great aunt that was a librarian.
Was she an excited librarian?
On her English. And when I was just a young lad, I was like 8 or 10 years old, I remember receiving 3 or 4 letters with Master Patrick Heck, Esquire. Right? And I questioned this Esquire, and I questioned him about it a few years later, and that is the young master of the house.
All right, this
not yet a cheap age.
This is from Merriam-Webster.com. Esquire. There's 4 possible definitions here. Number 1, a member of the English gentry ranking below a knight. That is not me. I am not that.
Okay.
Number 2, a candidate for knighthood serving as a shield bearer and attendant to a knight. Are you guys knights?
I'm the Knight of Arduous Virtue. We've already covered this.
Okay, so then I could be serving as a shield bearer and attendant to the Knight of Arduous Virtue.
Not a very good one. Where's his shield?
Fetch me my slippers.
He needs an escutcheon.
This one's a little shaky. Number 3.
You let horse get away again?
Horse? You let horse get away? What's wrong with you?
Anyway. I said bring the posse.
Number 3, this is the one that is most likely applicable to me and my long-ass title. Used as a title of courtesy often by attorneys, usually placed in its abbreviated form after the surname, i.e. John R. Smith, Esquire.
Yeah, and this was why they removed the law that you can't have a place in the U.S. government if you have a title. Because that would get rid of all of the lawyers in government.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Wouldn't it?
Number 4 is, it says archaic, a landed proprietor. I don't know how a proprietor isn't landed, but, you know.
As opposed to sea bearing?
Or floating in the sky? I don't know. So
I think that would mean you would own the property, not be renting.
Oh, well, then I'm that as well. I own property. Well, as much as one can in the United States. Ultimately, I'm renting from the government. So depending on how you look at it. So I think used as title of courtesy in its abbreviated form after the surname.
You don't want to be my shield bearer?
I just think that number 3 is the most applicable.
All right.
Right. Number 2 is possible, depending on the arguments.
Okay.
You know, it's possible.
Well, so. Being as how they tag number 3 to lawyers, I think that ought to be eliminated, too, because every lawyer should be standing out in front of the war horse with a shield ready to take one.
Hey, do you know the difference between a catfish and an attorney?
Okay, I'll bite.
One's a scum-sucking bottom dweller, and the other one's a fish.
Nice.
All right, all right. I don't. You want a good doctor?
Do you know what?
You know the difference. The difference between God and a surgeon.
No.
Oh, God doesn't think he's a surgeon.
Yep, God don't think he's a surgeon.
Hey, exactly right. Do you know what you call half of the lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start.
A good start.
Major, what else?
Oh, I got a couple of smart fellows to tell you about. This happened 2-3 months ago, but it was just a quickie, and mm-hmm. I never got to bring it up. There was a couple of geniuses in Kentucky that decided that they was going to steal an ATM machine. So they took a pretty good-sized lock and chain and tied it around the machine, wrapped it a couple times up, hooked it to the bumper of the truck, drove off. Oh, guess what?
The bumper came off.
Brake, the chain didn't move, but the bumper of the truck got ripped right off. Well, they had a panic attack and just drove off and left the license plate laying there.
Smart.
Pro tip, you got to hook it to the frame. Not the bumper.
No. Real pro tip. You want to do crime, be in government.
Right.
Well, anybody that's ever lived in the Northern Hemisphere and had to pull a car out knows that you got to put it on something solid. Like Ricky says, you got to wrap it around the frame. And if you got something real bad, you take a big chain and you wrap it around both frames, and then you put another chain onto that one. So you're pulling on the whole truck. I've tweaked frames pulling stuff out of ditches before.
Like ATMs?
No.
All right, good.
How would you get the ATM into the ditch, Captain?
That's not my story. It's Major's story.
That would be the dummy driving the truck in front of you. He just drug it behind him for a while, and the chain gave out.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I used to see all the time growing up in frozen lakes. You're familiar with this in the winter in the Michigan area. Lakes do freeze, and they do have ice fishing. But instead of ice fishing, what I used to see frequently was kids on sleds. Usually they were the round ones, the saucer-looking deals, being pulled behind a vehicle. On the ice, just sliding around, having fun, whee, right, as the vehicle drives around the frozen lake, like on the frozen lake. I don't know if this is still allowed. I don't know if, people still do this. Major?
I don't know, but I remember doing it as a kid on the street.
Yeah.
Hell, I remember we you know what shagging is?
I mean, I know a definition of shagging.
Yeah, I probably know the same definition, too.
This is old school free ride. In the winter, when there's a good glaze of ice or snow on the road, you wait for a car that's just pulling around the corner slow or getting away from a stop sign. You know, you're going slow enough where you can run up behind him. You grab a hold of his bumpers and go into a spot, and you just ski on your feet behind the car. I remember one time doing that for like a half a mile, and the guy behind us was having a panic attack. And the guy that we were on didn't know we were there, so we probably were doing about 35 or 40 by the time we got to where we were going to get off. And we both just kind of twisted our feet a little bit like they was steering wheels and pulled right over and parked in the parking space. And that guy behind us pulled up and rolled down his window and just chewed our arses for a minute. But the only danger of it is if you hit a chuck hole. Your foot falls in it, you can snap an ankle. So you got to do it on a good road.
Similar to a pothole.
Okay.
I was going to ask, what is a chuck hole? I mean, I've had a laugh. Is it like that?
What is a woodchuck hole in?
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Now it makes sense.
Ah.
As opposed to a gopher hole.
Right.
Anything else, Major?
I had 9 rounds of gopher hole.
Well, they don't call them potholes because there's pot in them. I mean, come on.
Why do they call them potholes?
Well, that's a good question.
Because they're filled with water.
No, because I think
that would make sense.
They get rounder and rounder.
So you can fit a pot in it?
No, there's no pot. Yeah. And you can't cook in it either. You can cook on a manhole cover if you live out there.
Major Payne, thank you for the call. We appreciate
it. Why is it called the pothole?
It comes from the word pit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pit, not so it's a pit hole, not a pothole?
Yeah, it's a pit hole.
That's lame. Should have just left it as pit hole. Makes more sense.
Yeah, but I mean, when
that's
I go
English for you.
When I go to the Death Angel concert, I don't join the mosh pot.
But you would in the mid 15th century if they'd had them.
Is it a pit, though?
The mosh pit's not even a pit.
Depending on the venue, it could be. Like, there's a venue.
You go down the stairs to get to the mosh pit?
Yes.
You gotta keep stomping the ground until it is a pit.
Okay. Yeah, there's a venue. I can't remember the name of it now, but like when you walk in, you're sort of a level above, and if you look to your left, you can go up some stairs, and there's this like.
Like the orchestra pit?
Like the orchestra pit.
That's a pit.
Yes.
They're below the stage.
Right, they're below the stage. And so the mosh pit occurs where arguably the orchestra pit would be should you be seeing an orchestra, which you're not, you're seeing a metal band. And so because there's no orchestra there, that's where the moshing occurred.
Okay.
And I believe that's where the name comes from.
So they overran the orchestra pit and just stole the name.
Well, they decided to mosh in the orchestra
pit.
So, like, were there old concerts that were in those concert halls with those, like, lowered areas for the orchestra?
There still are.
And then all of the people who wanted to just knock the living daylights out of each other would go down in there?
It's so interesting. I don't know the history of the mosh pit so intricately to know that, like, you know, did they go into a venue where there was an actual orchestra pit? The venues that metal bands play, I mean, especially when they were up and coming, before heavy metal was even remotely popular, they had to play wherever they could. So they're playing your grandma's backyard, they're renting their own Grange halls,
this venue is a pit.
They're playing old churches, right, that kind of a thing. They're probably playing like a rock pit, like a quarry or something like that, you know what I mean? And like, you know, so it's entirely possible that mosh pit comes from another terminology. I do know that there used to be geographic definition differences. For example, the East Coast had moshing and mosh pits. But the West Coast had slam dancing.
Ah.
They're the same frickin' thing.
Where do I have to go to thrash?
Well, thrash is just the name of the crossover between punk rock and heavy metal.
Okay.
Right? So it's a little bit faster than heavy metal and a little bit slower than punk rock and a little more intricate, like a little more musicianship had to go into it.
Right.
Not just the three chords everybody loves about punk rock, right? So you're talking like lead guitar, solos, stuff like that. But like
pop music's got like one more chord, so that's, you know,
maybe, depending on
30% better
who you're listening to. But slam dancing, near as I can tell, at least according to Suicidal Tendencies, was the OG term. Mm. And then somehow mosh pit came into being.
Apparently it's variation on mosh parts, while hardcore musicians had called them skank parts.
We are out of time for Free Talk Live. You can catch the three of us here at 10:30 p.m. over at watch.freetalklive.com. Thank you to our callers. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Teakless. Peace.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.